Let's take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews in chapter number 11. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. And we're continuing here to go through this chapter that's teaching us about faith. He's been preparing all this time, really throughout the book of Hebrews, preparing us for this place, because the problem in the life of these Hebrew Christians was a faith problem. He even gives an example back to the children that were about to, that were in the wilderness wanderings, about to go into the promised land. And the issue that they had was faith. They did not believe that God would give them the land. Therefore, they did not enter. Why? Because of unbelief. They were redeemed out of Egypt. They saw the miracles, but they did not believe that God would give them the land. And really, the struggle has always been the same. Now, we're not talking about saving faith here. We're not talking about Ephesians 2:8, although that is the word of God, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're talking about living by faith. Every person ought to trust Christ by faith, and therefore be saved and forgiven of sin, but every Christian must walk by faith. That's what he's been saying. And really, as we come to chapter 10, he says that in verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. There is no other way for the just to live. He must live by faith. He tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. There is no way that we can please God without faith. So this is a serious issue if we think about it, and if we consider faith, that we are incapable of pleasing God except through faith. Everything that we do in the Christian life is, or ought to be, by faith. By faith. Now we come to verse 17, and we've been going through each one of those names. We went through Abel, and we saw the excellent sacrifice of faith, and we went to Enoch and Noah, Abraham, Sarah. And we looked at all these, and we talked about several things here pertaining to faith. But we come now to verse 17, where the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, Abraham has already been mentioned in this chapter. Really, it's mentioned Abraham when we spoke of his call. He was called to go into a country. In verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. And we dealt with, as we saw the life of Abraham, and then he went also to Sarah. But he talks about the call of Abraham. Abraham was called to go out of this country, and the Bible tells us that he sojourned. He was a stranger in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, as Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. So we talked about God's or Abraham's call, but now we're dealing with something different than Abraham's call. We're now dealing with Abraham offering a sacrifice by faith. Really, the Bible says, notice the wording, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, when he was tested. The word used in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, is the word tempted. So we see here, I want us to consider now that Abraham has been called out by faith, and he did that by faith, but now we see God is going to try Abraham. Try what? His faith. What is it that God wants to test in our lives? He wants to test our faith. And so this evening, we're going to look, as we consider once again Abraham, we're going to see this evening the evaluating test of faith. The evaluating test of faith. Now, before we consider those verses, I want us to go back to Genesis chapter 22 and look exactly at what took place in this test or this temptation. Notice in verse 20, chapter 22 of Genesis, verse 1. Genesis 22, verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I." Now again, the word tempt is not referring to Satan tempting Jesus to do something. That temptation has the idea of testing to do something wrong. This is not that type of testing. This is testing for a good purpose, for a good reason. Notice verse 2. "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Verse 3. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Now as we read this passage here, Abraham was asked to do something that would test his faith. Now as we read, as I've been saying this, as he's been enumerating those Old Testament examples by beginning with Abel and then Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah, God, what He does for us in Hebrews chapter 11, He pulls the curtain away and He wants us to be aware that everything that these men and women did was by faith. They did what they did by faith. And as we read this passage, we consider Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, and the Bible says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son." Now, as we think about the evaluating test of faith, I want us to consider several things this morning. First of all, we see the prodding of faith. The prodding of faith. The Bible uses the word tried to test the prodding of Abraham's faith. And may I say that God often will prod our faith. Why? Because He wants us to evaluate where we are as we stand in the faith. By the way, isn't that what He's trying to do with these Hebrew Christians? He wants them to evaluate where they are. And by the way, faith is connected to their spiritual maturity. Because He's been telling them that you're not mature. You have need that we teach you again some of the basic things, some of the basic doctrines of the Word of God. So when faith is prodded, we're going to see several things happen. In this passage, we see several things happen. First of all, as we consider the prodding of faith, we see, first of all, God prods our faith to reveal its condition. God is going to prod Abraham's faith to reveal the condition of his faith. The Bible says, notice, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And we would say, well, how do we examine our condition? Because we see that Abraham, the Bible tells us, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. With the idea, again, he offered him up. Now, we know that didn't go through. God stopped him, but he offered him up. He obeyed the Lord by faith. It shows the condition of the faith of Abraham. Now, Abraham already showed faith in being called out of his country to go into a land that God didn't show him right off the bat, but then he would promise Abraham at a latter time. And so we see here that our condition is demonstrated, first of all, in our availability. Now we see, if we go back to Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, the Bible says at the end of verse 1, as God said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. You know what that tells us about Abraham's faith? He was available to God. He made himself available. When God called, what did Abraham say? He said, here am I. And may I say that that's where really the test of our faith, to see where we are when God prods our faith and when God reveals the condition of our faith, the first thing He'll reveal is, are you available? You see, Abraham here was available. God called and Abraham said, I'm here. I'm here. May I say that that's where it begins. If we first of all don't say, here am I am willing and able, I am listening, speak, then we will never go on and mature in our faith. And our faith, as a matter of fact, cannot be tested because it's failed at the first step of saying, here am I. So the condition of our faith is demonstrated in our availability, but number two, it is demonstrated in our obedience. The Bible says in verse 2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the one mountain which I will tell thee of. That is a serious thing. Now, when we notice with Sarah, remember, she laughed when God said, I'll give you a son. They have a son. Isaac now is on the scene. This is the promise. This is by whom, remember when Abraham tried to create this thing? And she had a son. He had a son with Hagar. And the son, God said, that's not through whom I'm going to have the seed. It's through Isaac. But now God tells Abraham to offer up Isaac. Wouldn't that kind of cause you to say, oh, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Now, God is speaking. So the condition of Abraham's faith as he's being prodded is demonstrated in his obedience because it was verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. We don't see any questions. We don't see any argument. We don't see any, that doesn't make sense. Or God, why would you do this? He is available, but then he actually obeys the command of God. We say, well, what is it? What is it that reveals the condition of our faith? Is our availability, but also our obedience. You see, Abraham was willing, and notice he didn't wait around a few days. He didn't consult with his wife. He probably should have. It doesn't say anything here. Probably he didn't. I imagine so. But Abraham arose in the morning. Notice he went early. You know what that tells us? He was ready to obey without delay. You see, when delay is involved, as our faith is prodded, it's a revealing of the condition of our faith. I don't know. There's a moment of hesitation. So we see the prodding of faith. We see God prods our faith to reveal its condition. Our condition is demonstrated in our availability and in our obedience. But number two, we see that God prods our faith to reveal its direction. And what I mean by that is, to whom is our faith directed to? The Bible tells us, as we go back to Hebrews chapter number 11, the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he, notice, was tried, offered up Isaac. Now, the Bible tells us, as we just read in Genesis 22, verse 2, he offered him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And we could read the whole chapter later. He says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now, this is something that was normal for them to offer sacrifices as a form of worship to the Lord. This is something that they did many times as a memorial. They wanted to worship the Lord. They wanted to recognize the Lord for His goodness, for victory in their lives. For many things, they would offer up a sacrificial lamb. We'll also see it's an atonement for sin. In those times, men would build an altar and offer sacrifices to who? To God. This was an act of worship directed towards God. God will prod our faith to reveal what is our sight, what is our sight set on? What is our faith looking to? Well, may I say, He answers the question in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And so as we think about God prodding the faith of Abraham, it would reveal the direction of his faith. Is Abraham still interested in worshiping God? Is Abraham's faith still directed towards God? Why? Because of the promise that God's made. God said, through thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Therefore, Abraham, now that I've given you a son, are you trusting in your son Isaac for your seed, or are you still trusting in me? There's a difference there. Abraham, is your sight turned towards man and what man can do, or is your sight turned towards God? And God will prod the faith to see and to reveal the direction of our faith. It is very easy when God perhaps allows us a victory in our lives in faith to then become independent of God and say, well, now that God has given me this, then I'll trust in this. And it is easy for us to turn our sight away from God towards men. So may I say that in the prodding of Abraham's faith, God prods our faith to reveal His condition. He prods our faith to reveal its direction. But we see, number three, God prods our faith to reveal its determination. Notice twice the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 17, He says, He offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises, notice, offered up his only begotten son. Now I want you to notice here that God's emphasis emphasizes the completeness of the act. In other words, He completed this dreaded deed in intent. Did Abraham offer his son? Did he actually do it? No, he didn't, because God stopped him. But in God's economy, Abraham did it. He was going to do it. He had the knife ready to go down upon his son. It was already settled in his mind. He had already made the decision, although the act was not committed. But in the sight of God, it was already done. And so He says. So although his son was not dead, his son did not die, God said he did offer up his son. Because he did it in intent. And may I say that shows that our faith, God prods our faith to reveal His determination. Faith doesn't say, I hope I can do it. Faith says, it's already done. I've made my decision. I'm going through with that. Nowhere do you see Abraham with one inkling of hesitation. And perhaps he did, but the Bible doesn't tell us. In any moment that he hesitated or doubted what God told him to do. He just did it. And so God prods his faith to reveal its condition, to reveal its direction, to reveal faith's determination, but also, number four, God prods our faith to reveal our affection. The Bible tells us, notice, He offered up His only begotten Son. Now, we know that Abraham had an illegitimate child with Hagar. But His only begotten Son, He only had one truly Son. And that was Isaac. Now, when we read Genesis chapter 22, verse 12, the Bible says, He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. In other words, Where does Abraham's affection lie? God is going to prod Abraham's faith to find out where his affection lies. God will prod our faith to see where our affection lies. Where does our affection dwell? Abraham loved his son Isaac. There's no doubt about it. He was a miracle child that was promised by God. The Lord gave Abraham Isaac, but the Lord tested Abraham's faith in order to reveal who Abraham loved more. Who do you love more, Abraham? Do you love your son Isaac, or do you love me more? He said, well, why does God have us make that decision? Because it settles everything else. You see, if we love God as we ought to love God, it'll settle every other affection we have. You see, if my love for God is what it ought to be, my love for my son will be what it ought to be. And so Abraham's faith is prodded by God because God wants to see where his affection lies. It is not bad for Abraham to love his son. It is not bad for us to love our families and to our friends and all those things. But who is at the center of everything? It must be God. You see, was Isaac number one in Abraham's life? This is my future. This is what I'm trusting in to give me a name. I only have one son. Or does the affection lie in God? You know, in John chapter 21, remember when Jesus Christ asked Peter? He says, so, when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He asked them three times, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Now the these, it's not determined. Perhaps it was talking about the disciples. Or perhaps it was talking about the fish, because he just went out fishing. But he asked Peter the question, do you love me? And Peter answered, well, you know, Lord, that I love you. Jesus' reply after the third time was this, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. What was he saying? It's not about what you say. It's about what you do in your faith. Now, let me stop here because some people say, well, why do you always talk about what you do? We don't do things in order to earn something. We do things because of. We're not talking about becoming a Christian. We're talking about living the Christian life. And may I say that God will prod our faith to reveal where our affection lies. Think about it. Peter had said that he was willing to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe when he said that, he was honest. Yet, Peter denied that he ever knew the Lord three times. So the Lord questioned Peter's affection. Was there anyone or anything in the life of Peter that he loved more than Jesus Christ? And when God prods our faith, that's what He wants to reveal in our life. Prodding you, Abraham. Do you love me or Isaac more? In our lives, is it our affections for people? For things, material things, for careers, whatever it is. Where does our affection lie? And may I say that in the evaluating test of faith, God prods our faith. Number one, we not only see the prodding of faith, but number two, we see the perplexity of faith. Now verse 18 says, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, he says here, Abraham offered up Isaac, his only begotten son. And then he tells us in verse 18, it's a little perplexing. Why? Because of whom it was said of Isaac, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So, in the mind of Abraham, it did not make sense. It was perplexing. It must have been perplexing to Abraham. If Isaac was sacrificed on the altar, then the promises of God to Abraham, which were in Isaac, could not be fulfilled. Though puzzling, may I say that faith still believes and obeys God's Word. Sometimes, it just doesn't seem to make sense sometimes. in our own minds as finite people. Certain things in our lives may seem perplexing because they do not make sense in the eyes of men, but God, who stands outside of time, knows exactly what He's doing. You see, it was perplexing to Abraham, but it was not perplexing to God. Abraham had simply to trust God. He offered up his son, of whom it was said that in Isaac the seed of Abraham would be called. That's perplexing. May I say that living by faith is a perplexing thing at times. When a Christian says we're just obeying the Word of God, following the Word of God by faith, there are many things that perplex people today. Sometimes we see if we follow the guidelines, the instructions for raising children, which is laid out in the Word of God, the world will say that doesn't work. It does not make sense. But what does God say? You see, sometimes it's perplexing because sometimes in our lives we think, well, it's not working. So do we stop? Because in our minds we think it's not working? Or we just continue obeying God? Oh, you think about even a church. And it's amazing that many churches have changed, and they try to kind of adapt to society, adapt to the world, and they have the idea that, well, we have to come up with something better than what is laid in the Scriptures. Obviously, God didn't know what He was doing, so we got to come up with our own agenda and our own program. And so, what happens? Faith is not involved. And it's perplexing because people will look at a church that simply seeks to obey the Lord and to follow the Lord and to follow God's program. And sometimes people that sit in those churches may be perplexed. Because they think, well, look, they have a church of thousands of people. God must be in it. And look, we just have a few people. Perplexing. But faith continues to obey God, although perplexing at times. May I say that God stands outside and knows everything. It's about getting God's perspective and not man's perspective. And so we see here not only the prodding of faith, but we see the perplexity of faith. But number three, and we're done, we see the peace of faith. Now the Bible tells us in verse 19, well, let's read verse 18. It says, "Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called," notice verse 19, "accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." So notice, this is Abraham's perspective. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. In other words, God pulls the curtain away and says, how could Abraham do that? How could a parent do that? In a time when faith seems to be perplexing, to follow the Lord in something that doesn't make sense. And be at peace. How could he do that? How could he just account? Because the Bible tells us, accounting that God was able to raise him from the dead, even from the dead. What is it that gave peace in Abraham during that time? Remember what he told his son Isaac? He saw the place, so he told the two servants to stay back. And he said, well, let's have the wood, have the fire. We're going to go up and build the altar. Remember what Isaac said? He says, we have the wood and the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? What did Abraham say? God will provide Himself a lamb. Now, I know what that means and the implications of the Messiah, and I know what that means, but I want us to consider the peace in which Abraham delivered that message. The trust. Now, we know because in the mind of God, He tells us He already offered up His son. It was already determined. But He said, God will provide Himself a lamb. And may I say that when faith is prodded and faith is revealed, although it is perplexing, still the obedience in faith to God, may I say that faith, that kind of faith, will produce peace in a person's life in the midst of perplexity in that faith. there's peace. Peace is derived from two things in this verse. Peace, first of all, is derived from the power of God. The Bible is accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. In other words, faith believes in the power of God. God had already demonstrated to Abraham his ability to bring life from death. Didn't he just do that? In the Hebrews, notice Hebrews chapter 11, notice verse 12, as he talks about Sarah bringing up her son. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Sarah could not have a child. She was past the stage in her life to be able to bring, to give birth to a child. It was impossible. And so here, notice, Abraham has perfect peace in God by faith because he's already had a witness and a testimony that God, through His power, is able to bring somebody from the dead. To make something alive that has been dead. And so Abraham says, that's why he has peace. He said, wait a minute, God promised that through Isaac shall all children of the earth be blessed. That my seed is going to live through my son Isaac. He already promised that. So if God's asking me to do this, could it be that God is going to raise him from the dead? And now at that time, there's really no record that we see God raising somebody from the dead, but there's already evidence of the womb that was dead, unable to give birth. But God brought life. And so therefore, peace derives from the power of God. I was thinking, you know, we've been going on Saturday through the gospel, the power of God. Paul said that I just give the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. So, either two things are true. Either the gospel has lost its power and God has lost his power, or we're not giving it. Where does peace come from? From the power of God. What is it that enables a person to give the gospel? Because they're at peace, because they know that the power comes from God, and therefore lies in Him. So peace is derived from the power of God, and may I say that unbelief leaves out the power of God. So peace is derived from the power of God, but number two, peace is derived from the picture of Christ. The Bible says, verse 9, accounting that God was able to raise Him up, even from the dead, from whence also He received Him, in a figure. This test that Abraham had to go through in offering Isaac was a figure, a picture of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's where his peace came from. In other words, when he said God will provide himself a lamb, can you imagine the peace that ushered in? Because without it, probably, as he was speaking it, God will provide himself a lamb. God will. And if God will, why can't I? Why can't I have peace in this time? Why? Because it pictures Christ. And our faith, peace, comes from the power of God and from the picture of Christ in our lives as we exercise our faith. And so as we see this message, it is very easy this evening as we conclude here, how are we doing in the evaluating test of our faith? Has God ever prodded you? Prodded your faith? To find out the type of condition that we are in? I have. I'm sure you have as well. So again, I'll repeat those things. God prods our faith to reveal the condition of our faith. God prods our faith to reveal the direction of our faith. God prods our faith to reveal the determination of our faith. And God prods our faith to reveal the affection of our faith. And you know, He'll use His Word tonight to prod us as well. To examine our faith. Abraham, no doubt we would all say, had great faith. That's great faith. And may I say that I believe that God is prodding us in our lives to help us to be aware of the fact of where we ought to be. These Hebrew Christians, now that we come back to this book of Hebrews, these Hebrew Christians were struggling because they were being persecuted. And somewhere along the line, they had lost sight of God. They had lost sight of the fact that they ought to live by faith. And therefore, they were considering leaving the church. And he says, look, perhaps it is, Christian, that God is allowing you to go through this time because He simply wants to prod your faith. He wants to test your faith. See where you are so that you can get to the next level. Do you think Abraham at that time got to the next level? I think he got to the next level. I mean, can you imagine? It was already done. And then God says, no. Stop. Don't do it. The statement that he made earlier, God will provide himself a lamb, then he turns around and there's a ram caught in the thicket. Can you imagine what that did to his heart? May I say that we will never experience that type of thing if we never exercise our faith?
Right.
Stop! There's the lamb that God has provided.
Amen.
And really, faith is basically this. It's not what we provide for ourselves. It is us living by faith is to see what God provides for us as He prods us. Let's ask the Lord to help us this evening as we consider the evaluating test of faith.